Good evening. Glad to see everybody here tonight. I want to start off by taking this off. I intend to do that last night, okay? And make myself a little more at home here. But I don't know if you noticed or not. My wife did. She asked me. She said, "Now, why'd you put your mask on?" I was thinking I wanted to share with you. In these fearful times, you never know. Maybe you can get it through video. I thought, you know, that would be a good way to start. You know, laugh about that. You know, she was coughing. It's serious. Some missionaries have gotten COVID, so you do need to pray for them. It sounds like they're coming along pretty good. But we've had some in Peru, some pastors. Two pastors that I've known personally have died as a result of it or its complications. And we've had one pastor of one of our larger churches. It's the largest one, run about 600 or so. And there's 16 in that church that have COVID. And so they've not had church services for quite a while, since March 15th. Supposed to start it in November. The president's promised last night or night before last, I think it was. And that churches could start resuming. But then the law was written and it came out. They can only have baptisms and christenings and things like that, mainly talking about the Catholic Church. So they're still in a standby state. So you be praying for the works there in Peru. It's really interesting in what's going on there, really is. Debbie and I, glad to be here with you this week, and we've enjoying our time, and we enjoyed the beautiful weather, and now it's getting cooler, and this is kind of what I expected, okay? So I kind of like the cool weather. In Peru, we don't have any of that hardly at all. If you don't particularly like the little prayer part, the prayer spot, and you got to have a picture, go on their website, and there's an old prayer card you can print up, okay? And you can fold it, and you can glue it together, and you can have a nice Bible marker, all right? I've become a cheap missionary, man. You want one, print it yourself, okay? So, at any rate, we're just trying to make everybody happy. Somebody told me in one of the churches, that's not a prayer card. There's no picture on it. And I said, well, for 38 years, we put pictures on prayer cards, and we're getting old, and I'm getting uglier, so I don't want you to have to look at that, you know? It might make a good dartboard or something. But at any rate, we want you to pray for us, if you would. If you didn't get one of those, be sure and pick one of those up before you leave today, and then be praying for us as you're going to take your step of faith and be faithful during this next year. You know, we talked about faith in general terms last night, but we talked about the faith of Christ, my faith. He talks about my faith, and we're to follow His faith. We talked about the faith of the saints and how that we need to follow His example and set an example and have a separated life, a testimony that brings honor and glory to Him. And so it was the faith of Jesus and the faith of the saints. Today I want to focus in on the faith of the saints, you and I, faith that needs to be active, it needs to be growing faith, and it ought to be that. So if you'd open your Bibles for the lecture, the Bible reading, we're not going to read it all tonight, but I'll give it to you kind of as homework. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, a famous area of faith in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 10 and 11. But we want to start in chapter 10, verse 38. And I'm just going to pick out a few phrases here. And I trust that you'd read the whole thing in context a little bit later. But Hebrews chapter 10, 38 through 11, 8. Really, you should read all of 11. But we'll just use through verse 8. For the message tonight, to kind of a jumping off place to get into the message. And you think about the things that are going on in this COVID and stuff. I believe God's leading that tomorrow we're going to talk about fear and fear not. And trust that it'll be a challenge and a blessing to you. And I was thinking about that and how they're going back to Taiwan where it's safer. And we just need to be praying for one another that God would protect us and rebuke that fear and help us to just trust in Him and walk by faith. And that's what this meeting is all about, that we might draw closer to Him and walk by faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith." I think you heard that a few times last night. And down there a little bit farther said, "Now faith is," tells what it is. It gives the definition, substance of things hoped for. And by that faith, this evidence of things not seen, by that faith the elders, in verse 2, obtained a good report. And that's what I want you to have. I think that's what your pastor wants you to have, is a good report before the Lord. And the only way we're going to get a good report when we stand before the Lord is if we learn to walk by faith, if we take some steps of faith. And that's why this Faith Promise Conference is so very important. It encourages you to take
a step of faith, another step of faith, something more than you've done in the past. Maybe you've had a victory this past year. Praise the Lord for it. Maybe you didn't follow through, and He wants you to give it another shot. But He wants us to trust Him and grow in faith. And that's the only way that we're going to obtain a good report, because through faith we can understand the Word of God and how He's framed the worlds, and it talks about that. And then he starts giving the list of the guys there. And he says in verse 4, by faith, Abel offered what? A more excellent sacrifice. Okay? Go down there in verse 5, and it says, by faith, Enoch was translated so that he should not see death. There are going to be some people walking by faith when the rapture happens. We're out of here. All right? It might happen tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready? You need to know Christ as your personal Savior. Really need to be sure of that. So he did not see death. Why? Because he pleased God. It says right there, the very last of verse 5. And then you go down in verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, he was warned of things not seen as yet. He had to truly believe. He hadn't even seen a shower, a rainstorm. And he believed God. You've never seen God provide like He's going to provide if you just trust Him. If you just trust Him. You see, he moved with fear. Lord willing, that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Not Noah so much, but that attitude of fear. He feared God. And he became an heir by faith. Then in verse 8 it says, by faith Abraham. What did he do? He obeyed. Kind of like Noah. He obeyed. He did what God told him to do. And that's what we want you to do tonight. We want you to seek God's face, seek God's will in your life, and when God leads you to take that step of faith, obey. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. It might be an amount of money. It might be to go witness to somebody. It might just be to share your faith. It might be to be faithful to the Lord in your giving or reading your Bible through. But there's a step of faith that God wants you to take that you'll be drawn closer to Him. And He wants us to have that faith that's active and growing. It's a growing faith. It ought to be that. And so when you think about that, you read those verses, read all of chapter 11 there of Hebrews as well, but flip over there to 2 Thessalonians, if you would, for just a minute. 2 Thessalonians, and just give you another verse to think about in conjunction with Hebrews. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, because that your faith, what? Groweth. But it doesn't just groweth, it groweth exceedingly. That means you got to trust God. He wants you to take a big step. Sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll be honest, I've taken some little baby steps of faith in my life. Well, Lord, I can trust you for this. And just in case, you know, I can fall back on something else. But He wants our faith to grow that it's exceeding, it's obvious to others. And it has to be God. It has to be God. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants your faith to grow. And then there's another phrase there, and it says, and the charity of every one of you toward another aboundeth. Now, that's what we're talking about last night. Love and faith, how you can't separate the two. From the commandments, loving God and loving others, and walking by faith and keeping a testimony, it's all intertwined. And we've got to get a balance there. We used Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the just shall live by faith. So it's not just a New Testament thing, it's an Old Testament, it's a Bible thing. It's that we're to live by faith. God wants us to learn to do that. That's one thing we need to do as new Christians, Steve, to learn to live by faith. The preacher mentioned the other day all the times that he saw in the Bible the word that he's looking up and stuff, you know, and Googled it or something before he got up here. But you know, I have a Logos library. It's pretty extensive and it has all kinds of entries. But one of the things I noticed in there, I looked up the word faith with the sermons. And you're not going to believe this, but there are over 95 sermons by Spurgeon on faith. That's incredible, isn't it? But I got to looking about that. There, it lists in one place in this Logos library, there are 95,000 sermons on faith. So it's not a new subject. It's not something that's been ignored, but it's something that hasn't been practiced a lot. People haven't grown and haven't trusted God as God would have us. Why? Because our faith is weak. We mentioned last night that we have little faith, and that's along the same line. It's a weak faith. And we mentioned that Christ rebuked that faith many, many times. In Matthew chapter 6, he said, "O ye of little faith." And I shared some things in my life, how that my faith wasn't what it ought to be when we went to buy land and get things and trust God and we watched God work and it grew my faith. It helped me to trust Him even more. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants your faith to grow exceeding so that it's obvious to others around you. And that's kind of what I wanted to do tonight for a little bit. Just kind of share my testimony of some things, some ways that Deb and my faith has grown over the years, some things that God has used, trying to follow Paul's example, but certainly not measuring up to his conduct and his testimony that he puts forth there in 2 Thessalonians. But I'm certainly not another Paul, but I would like to share a little of my life in a way of testimony and express some things with you. But right before we get into that, you know, the apostle said, increase our faith. And that's what I want to happen in my life every day. That's what I want to happen in your lives as a result of this missions conference and that you can take on even more missionaries and see more things happen, more souls saved around the world. And the Bible gives us lots of examples of weak faith. You know, Hebrews, where we started, those are the guys that had the victories. And a lot of them aren't even named there. Okay, it just mentions some of the things that happened, and you can look it up and figure out a lot of them. But there's a lot of examples of weak faith in the Bible. And I remember my first step of faith. I was 9 when I got saved. I prayed the sinner's prayer, and Mom and Dad got active in a church there in the corner of Kansas, a little place called Elkhart, and they got baptized started going for a few months, and I was kind of following their example, and I memorized in the Sunday school the 23rd Psalm, and I won a trip to church camp. Isn't that something? I was 9 years old. Man, killed a big one. Memorized the 23rd Psalm. The other day, my granddaughter, how old is she now, Deb, when she did that? Aria. She's 4, and she quoted the 23rd Psalm. Put me to shame, man. But I was really proud of her. She learned it in her preschool class from a Sunday school teacher that's having a preschool. It was kind of exciting. But I won that thing, and it was helping me to grow, you see. I began to get into the Scripture, and that's what you got to do for your faith to grow. And it began to grow, and I said, this is something. So I got to go to church camp, and it even grew a little bit more there, even as a child. And came back from church camp, and my family had moved. Man, it hit me hard, a blow of faith. They left me. They moved to Texas. But you know, that's one of the best things that could ever happen. I finally found them, caught up with them. They didn't really leave me behind, but they had moved, and we moved to Texas, got involved in the Fellowship Baptist Church. And that's where I began to grow in faith. That's where I made my very first faith promise. I don't remember if I mentioned it last night, but I promised a whole dime a week, and God gave me a job. Got under conviction, I raised it. Got under conviction, I raised it again. And you know, I've not had a problem all of my days having a job. I remember when I first resigned the pastorate. Amazing thing happens when you resign the pastorate. You don't have an income. It stops. And I remember I was with, we moved down to Texas because I was going to become approved as a missionary, but it was like, I don't know, 3 or 4 months before it was official. And so I didn't have an income, and a lot of guys wouldn't schedule with meetings until we were approved and all that kind of stuff. And so I had a couple, but I said, Lord, I understand 10%, the tithe, of nothing is nothing, right? I got that. But I got this faith promise I made. And Lord, I don't have it. And it was getting pretty steep by then. I'd been pastoring for a while. And so I went out and I went looking for where I worked for going to college. And I went to the oil field. And I was trying to get a roughnecking job, throwing the chain. And when they found out I was a preacher, they didn't think I could work. And they wouldn't hire me. I went to 13 rigs in a row, drilling rigs, oil rigs. And I went to 13 in a row because I knew if I got there at the right time, somebody didn't show up because they were drunk or something, and I could get their job, you know. I knew I could get it if I showed up at the right time. I had faith, but you have to put a little work to your faith, all right? You don't just sit around and say, hey, Lord, you got to do it. No, you got to do your part. And I remember that 13th place I went, this guy from Canada, he said, oh, you won't last 5 minutes. I said, try me. Try me. He said, all right, I'll try you. And I worked hard that day. We tripped. We brought out pipe all day. And I convinced him. And a little while longer, I got another job at another rig. I was working 16-hour days, all right, at two different rigs, going home just enough to sleep. Got enough money to start out deputation with money in the bank. That was incredible, wasn't it? Incredible. Why? Because I'd learned to trust God. And I'd made a faith promise. And God gave me that job because I didn't have my faith promise. I said, now, Lord, I trusted you. You see? So instead of me being put on the spot, it's kind of the Lord saying, all right, we're going to come through for you. That's what I want your faith to grow just a little bit and realize that we can trust the Lord just a little more than we thought we could. So Paul's an example of to Timothy that many times his faith wasn't what it should be, and he needs to grow in his faith. There's lots of examples of strong faith in the Bible. There's examples of weak faith, but we need to try to determine in our hearts that we're going to have that strong faith, that we're going to walk with the Lord, we're going to be what the Lord would have us to do. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I sent to know your faith. He was talking, and he said, I want to know more about it. And he said down there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, he says, but now when Timotheus came to you for us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. You see where that faith and love are hooked together? And where the commandments, you love God and love mankind. It's all one thing. You can't separate them. And that's what he's trying to tell Timothy there in 2 Thessalonians. And he's a good example for us to follow. And he says, therefore, brethren, verse 7, we were comforted over all the affliction and stress by your faith. We were comforted by your faith. And that's a comfort to me to know that this church has lived by faith for many years and going to keep living by faith if you'll keep taking those steps. And that comforts missionaries to know that support's coming. It's not just money, it's prayers, it's concern, it's a love for one another and a love for the work of Christ. And that will help us perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And that's what he's talking to Timothy there about. And I didn't really want it to stay there that long and talk about it that long, but I wanted you to think about how that we can pray for more faith. We need to pray and ask God that our faith would increase, that it would grow, that we would accomplish what God would have us to do. And that's what he's talking about when he's writing in Timothy. 1 Timothy said, let no man despise thy youth. He mentioned earlier a lot of people under 30. There's some steps of faith you can take, and it'll be amazing what you can see if you just trust God. Really, you need to trust God. Let no man despise thy youth. Be an example of believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. Faith is very, very important. He wants us to take that step of faith. I remember when I took my first pastorate. Okay, I was 23 years old. Took a pastor to First Baptist Church of Geneseo, Illinois, man. Big one, you know, pastor of the First Baptist Church. I noticed there's a First Baptist Church here in town. But I took that church, and it was a former American Baptist church, and I preached hard to that first group of people. There were 16, and after that first message, there were only 12 left. I said, this is not going the right direction. Lord, you're going to have to help me through this. I was young. There were some things I needed to learn, but, you know, I had three deacons who didn't even attend church. That's the kind of situation that it was. It was kind of rough. It really was. But I was praying like the apostles in Luke. I said, increase my faith, not our faith. Lord, help me. You got to help me through this thing. And you know what? He did. I was out knocking doors. Tell you how young looking I was and acting and skinny and everything. I was knocking doors around the church, and one of the neighbor ladies called the policeman. So the policeman pulled me over. He said, come here a minute. I was knocking doors. And it was really just a few doors down from the church. And he said, can I talk to you for a second? So I walked him, yes, sir. And he he said, well, I have this lady here down the street, and she called and said there's a 16-year-old impersonating the pastor. And he's talking about me. That's the thing, you know. Sometimes people say, hey, he's too young. No, you're not too young to take a step of faith. You're not too young to be. Sometimes the Lord might not understand it, but he did ask for my ID. He wanted to know how old I was and all that kind of stuff. But at any rate, that was kind of our introduction to the ministry in Geneseo, Illinois. But you know, as our faith begins to grow, you know what it does? It begins to encourage others. It encourages others to take steps of faith and follow our example. And that's what Paul was doing with Timothy in Thessalonians and Timothy, the things that he wrote. He's trying to encourage him that his faith might grow. And the word is perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That's a growing faith. That's what that is. It's to grow and know more about the Lord. And so as my faith began to grow over the years, I made a discovery and I wasn't too happy with it. But you need to be happy with whatever gift God gives you, all right? Whatever it is. And I discovered that I'm not all that great a preacher. I'm not all that great an exhorter, an evangelist, and a fiery type, you know, and all that kind of thing. But I can help others, and I had the gift of helps. Now, that's not real exciting, you know, but I can help others and have helped in many ways. And so I asked the Lord to help me. Help me to help others. And that's what I was doing in Geneseo. Help that church to see the need to give to missions. And they made a faith promise and began to grow. And it was kind of a mission field to me, man. I went up to those northerners from Texas, man. And they talked different. They thought different. They were just different, you know. They wouldn't even wave when you drove by in a car, you know. And we did that in Texas all the time. So that was kind of my introduction to the mission field, even though I didn't know that that's what's happened at the time. But I remember took missions in Bible college. And I took missions in Bible college. I think preachers heard this years ago, but I took it for a real spiritual reason because I figured out if you took missions, you could be a pastor, youth leader, a missionary, anything. You didn't have to go back to school. But if you took pastorate, you had to go back for another year for missions. Or if you took a youth leader's job, a ministry thing, you had to go back and become a pastor. All that kind of, I said, man, I don't want to come back to this place. You know, I've had enough of this. So I said, Lord, I'm going to take the missions course. Well, if you take the missions course, you have to tell them what mission field you're called to. Well, I wasn't called to a mission field. So I took the globe and I spun it and moved my pencil up and down three times. And when it stopped, I stopped. And I got the ocean three times. I can't figure out where the Lord wants me to go. So finally, I picked a country and did a thing. But you see, God's never showed me ahead of time what step of faith He wanted me to take. He's kind of led me to take little steps. He's not going to show you what you're going to become because of the step of faith you might take this week. But He wants you to take that step of faith. He wants you to grow. He wants you to trust Him. He really does. And I had no idea that'd be a missionary to prove when I was in Bible college. I just wanted to serve the Lord. Just wanted to do whatever the Lord would have me to do. And that's the steps that we took. And as I became a pastor, after I was associate for a while, a couple years, and became a pastor, then I took a trip to Peru to visit a missionary by the name of Tom Brown. We went to see Tom because we supported him. I wanted to be a better missions-minded missions pastor. All right? I want to understand and help him better. Went to visit him, and when I came back, God used that trip to speak to my heart. And I kind of argued with the Lord for about a year. And if God's speaking to your heart to make a step of faith, don't argue with Him. It's not a good thing. It's kind of like, you know, I came back and I told my wife, I said, you know, I think the Lord's calling me to Peru. She says, well, I don't think so. And I knew that's what she'd say. I said, well, Lord, you just closed the door. She's not going. I can't go. She said, you can go. I'll support you $40 a month. I said, Lord, you just closed the door. You just closed the door. But I knew the Lord was speaking to my heart. But I also knew my wife because she says no to all my new ideas. I mean, my idea to marry her, she said no. She denies it. She said that a lot of times. I get kind of used to that. But you don't say no to the Lord. And finally, the Lord got a hold of her heart, got a hold of my heart. In about a year, we surrendered, and we went back. We went and prepared to go to the mission field. And that's kind of how our faith began to grow. It grew in a lot of ways in the pastorate. And it grew to take that step to become a missionary. But it wasn't an easy thing for me. And I'm not so convinced it's going to be an easy thing for you either. Because God wants you to trust Him, and that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing. It's easy for children, but for adults, it's a little bit harder. And the longer you've been on your own and supplied for yourself, the harder it is to trust the Lord. God wants us to trust Him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 is trying to tell us to learn to just trust God. That's what He wants us to do. He wants to strengthen our faith. And how does He strengthen our faith? He does it through testing. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though that now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When we see our faith strengthened through testing, through the fires, it brings honor and glory to God. And that's what our life's all about. That's why we were created. You know that? To bring honor and glory to God. There's no better place to do that. So when I went to Peru, to visit Peru, as a pastor, I only stayed there 8 days. We were supposed to go with 30 pastors. It was a big deal. And when we finally ended up going, there were three. I was one of the three that went. But we spent 8 days there, and we went to the mountains, did a lot of things. But I'm not kidding you guys. Every day, something terrible happened. The very first day, we hit a guy. Oh, man, that was rough. And he came to, was trying to take him to the hospital, refused. We took him back to where he was, and he dropped some wood in the floor in the middle of the Pan-Americana Highway. And he went out in the middle of that and picked it up and got in his truck and drove off. Now, he had to be hurt. And that was my first day, just a few hours. We were going home from the airport. And it scared me. And another day we were in a riot. Another day a guy reached in the car and was trying to pull some stuff, the watch off of Tom Brown's arm. And he was pushing against it. Tom was pretty strong. So he's pushing up, had both feet against the door, trying to get away. And he couldn't. I said, man, this place is crazy. This place is nuts. And I remember every day something dramatic happened. And so when I got to the last day, I said, Lord, if you get me out of here, I promise I'll never come back. I promise. But you see, God had to show me some things. I had to conquer my fear. I had to listen and trust God. I don't know what your fear might be. It might not be going to a foreign country, but it might be, well, can I pay my bill? Can I make it through this COVID thing? We're going to talk about fears a little bit tomorrow morning, Lord willing. But tonight, I want you to think about that. You see, we have to conquer those fears to take those steps of faith. I remember one of the problems I had becoming a missionary was I was convinced I couldn't learn Spanish. And the reason I was convinced is because I took Spanish in high school. And I knew I couldn't learn that Spanish. If it wasn't for my neighbor, I wouldn't have made it through. I'm guaranteeing you. You know, it's just the way it was. So they gave us this test when we were becoming approved as missionaries. And one of them was a test for language aptitude. I failed it. I have no aptitude. So that's pretty bad, isn't it? But then that means it's on God. It's by faith. And everything we do in Spanish is in Spanish. It might not be the best Spanish in the world that my kids speak excellent Spanish. They kind of grew up there, no accent and all that. I still got my Texas accent. But the thing about it is, God will give you grace. He'll give you what you need. He'll help you if you'll take those steps of faith. He's done it in my life, and I'm nothing special. I don't have any great gifts that bring all kinds of glory and admonition. But we need to realize that God wants us to trust Him. I remember getting through language school. Got through language school. A whole year in Querétaro, Mexico. Studying every morning till noon. Every afternoon, our homework was to watch soap operas. Okay, and that was bad news, but you're trying to learn the language and figure it out. And then you're supposed to go to the market and practice on people and make all kinds of mistakes. After a year, my kids were playing, didn't go to a bit of language school, and they were translating for us. You know, they knew exactly what was going on. It was incredible. They gave me a little piece of paper after a year of studying, and they said, congratulations, You now speak on the level of a third grader. Now, I said, that's real encouraging. Your faith will be tried. It will be tested. But God will see you through it if you just trust Him. He wants you to trust Him. He wants us to learn to trust Him. You know, after we arrived in Peru, after we arrived just a few months, won't give all the details, but Pastor Tom Brown was killed in a robbery attempt. We were at his house. He was watching our kids. The guy that shot Tom Brown had a gun to my son's head at the time. He was 6 years old. And he turned and he shot Tom through the heart. Killed him. Sent him on to eternity. Those were rough days. We moved back down to Lima from the mountains where we were living. We moved into that house eventually and we faced our demons. It's not an easy life sometimes to take a step of faith, but God will see you through it. If you'll trust Him, if you'll trust Him. He saw us through it. And you know how I know He saw us through it? Because just a few months ago, I got to go to a ceremony for my son. And a few years ago, I got to pin the bronze star on him. But a few months ago, he got his rank of Sergeant Major, E9. As high as it can go as a listed guy. And you know what he kept saying all these years? He went through criminal justice and he went into the Army to pay his school bill, but then he became patriotic. But he kept saying, "Dad, we got some bad guys. They won't hurt anybody else." And he kept saying, "Uncle Tom Brown, wasn't a bad guy. He was a good guy." And now he's been fighting terrorism for many, many years. You know, I didn't understand why God would allow that to happen. Matter of fact, I got mad at Tom for a little while there because he could have got my son killed. But God knew what He was doing. We have to trust God. Take a step of faith. Learn to trust God. You see, He wants to be with us. He wants us to walk with Him and trust Him. And we have a son now who's thinking about retiring from the Army, and he's not even been in 25 years yet. He's got as high as he can go. It's amazing, isn't it? Step of faith, step of faith. But if you think about it, God saw us through it. You guys as a church helped us as we faced some family problems and came back and took care of Deb's mom for a while. I didn't say much about it. I don't even think I told your pastor, but you guys stuck with us, and we appreciate that. You know why? Because I did what I thought the Lord wanted me to do and took a step of faith and came back and worked with the Spanish, take care of her mom and stuff. We lost half our support for that, half of it. But you know what? I'm still too heavy. God took care of us. He really did. He'll take care of you if you take a step of faith. He really will. He might not do it the way you think. He might not do it the way He's done it in the past. He might come up with something new. But folk, we need to realize that God wants us to trust Him. He really does. He really wants us to trust Him. And so you think about the points that I'm trying to make tonight. The very first one is we need to have a faith that's growing, an active, growing faith. And the way we get that is we pray for more faith. And while we're praying for more faith, we're encouraging others to take steps that we've taken. And the second thing we knew is realize that as we walk in faith, that faith will be tested. And you just got to trust God. He'll see. He will test your faith. There was times when all the money I had in the world as a pastor was my faith promise. And I put it in an offering plate. And that week, we were knocking on doors and we were eating like kings. Man, people gave us stuff out of their vegetable gardens and chickens. Had a chicken the size of a turkey. It was incredible. We ate better than we ever ate when I got paid. It's amazing what God will do if you just trust Him. But He wants you to trust Him. And so I've learned a few things. And I've learned to trust God. And I learned to follow the examples of others. But I keep praying, like He says in Mark chapter 9, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. Maybe you're that way. I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. I got baptized at 16 because Dad wouldn't let me when I was younger. I surrendered to go to Bible college at 17. Began pastoring at 23. Became a missionary at 28. Did that Hispanic thing. And you know, back in 2001, God gave us the basis of a rotating fund. In about 4 years, we received about $230,000 that we loaned out to churches, Baptist churches, independent Baptist churches, and they started paying it back. Do you know last year, 2019, they revolved, they paid back into the fund, poor Peruvian churches, over $1 million, American dollars, $1 million American dollars. That's a God thing. Because I tell you what, I'm no financial genius. I made some pretty bad financial mistakes, but God blessed that thing because it was faith. It was faith. It's amazing what God will do when we trust Him. But it started with 10 cents. You see? I'm not saying you can take those big giant steps right off the bat. You need to grow. What can you really truly trust God for? What can you trust Him for today? Pray and ask Him and ask Him to give you that so you can follow the faith of others like your pastor, like the founder, like some of the missionaries you support, like Deb and I. We want to be examples for you that you can follow our example until we arrive to become experienced at this life of faith. Listen to what Psalm 37 says. If you'd like, you can turn there. But Psalm 37, verse 25 says, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. And that's very true. I haven't seen it. And I've been in the ministry about 45 years now, in all different aspects. But you think about it, sometimes we still don't trust God as we ought to. I kind of made a joke about it. I said, how do you know when it's time to retire, Brother Max? Well, we live on the third floor, and our bedrooms are on the fourth floor, and my office is on the roof, okay? And we don't have an elevator. It's all stairs, okay? So I told him I've been having problems with my knees for years, and I said, well, I know it's time to retire when I can't do the stairs. And then I started making excuses to stay in my office and not go down. Now I'm making excuses not to go home because I knew I had to go up them stairs. And I thought, well, we got to do something about it. So we've had the knees replaced. So God kind of changed it, my excuses. Sometimes we give excuses, you know, and to not taking those steps of faith and trusting Him. And I didn't want to have those operations. So now I'm a senior saint. I'm on Social Security. Signed up for Medicare, not Social Security yet, but signed up for Medicare. I can be part of the Jolly 60s and all those other groups, you know, that I used to start when I was a younger pastor. But you see, that's what it's all about, is trusting God. Now I have to trust God in other ways that I hadn't ever done before. Health ways, knees, breathing machines, and all kinds of stuff. Maybe you're there today. God wants you to trust Him. Realize God supplied the finances. He supplied the doctors. He supplied places. He supplied rehab. In other words, I'm 65, going to be 66 here in a few days, and I'm still growing in my faith. You see? I'm at a different level. I don't know where you're at in your level, but He wants you to grow in your faith. Would you consider taking the step of faith? Would you ask Him to help you to take a step of faith? Determine where you are and start from there. And then apply these things to your life. How's your faith life? How is it? Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed as you quietly stand. I'd like to give an invitation tonight. Not be long, but I'd like to invite you to come and kneel here or stand here. Come with your masks if you like. And come and just seek the Lord. Everybody stand. If you would, the whole congregation stand quietly to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. God speaking to your heart, I trust that you'd come. Answer the question here at the altar. How's your faith life? I hope it's growing. If it is, you ought to come and thank God for your faith life and how it's growing. If not, come and ask God to help it to grow and forgive you for maybe what you've done to not help it to grow. God speaking to your heart. Would you let me pray for you now as we start this invitation? God speaking to your heart. You say, Lord, speaking to my heart, pastor, pray for me. Missionary, pray for me. Raise your hand and drop it down a minute for a minute. I'll not call you out by name. Anybody? God speaking to your heart that you need to take a step of faith. Yes, there's one. Anybody else? Anybody else? Somebody else? Raise their hand. Lord, pray, dear God, you'd be with those that have raised their hands and some that need to and want to but didn't. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us all to make steps of faith that bring honor and glory to your name. Someone here needs a promise from the mountain that they never promised before. They need to trust you like they never have. Maybe it's the first time. Some need to be obedient in baptism. Lord, help them take a step of faith. Help them come and tell you about it here at the altar. Maybe tell the pastor or son about it. I pray to God, the co-pastor, I pray to God that you just work in ways that we know it's you and our faith would be increased. In Jesus' name. As you listen to that song, won't you come? Pray, won't you come?
Their heads bowed and their eyes closed tonight. Is there anyone in here that would say, you know how God is speaking to your heart? I mean, there's something specific that God's calling you to step out by faith in. How many would say that tonight? That you know God's speaking, you know what He's asking you to do. Anyone at all? Say, God's calling me to take a step of faith. Maybe you need to come. Spend time in prayer. Let's do what we did last night. We'll have a church-wide invitation. Why don't you take a knee at your seat or sit down and let's pray together. Let the Lord deal with your heart. Let's have prayer right now. I thank you so much, Lord, for how you speak to us individually. Lord, I pray that, Lord, first I thank you that there's no greater life than the life of faith. I thank you for how you've led me over the years. Thank you for how you've led my friends here in this church. Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight, to see your way is a better way. Lord, I sense that, Lord, that you want to do something in hearts tonight, tomorrow morning. I pray that we would just be sensitive, that as we go home tonight, that we'd be listening to your voice, we'd spend time in prayer and asking you to speak personally to us. We want to live for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In my life, Lord, Himself to us, because if you're like me, you've been through a lot of missions conferences. And boy, our hearts were stirred by those stories. I'd forgotten so much of that. And boy, it challenges us to really think, am I living by faith? And we talk about money and we'll take faith promise commitments, but it's really about our relationship with the Lord and what He's asking each of us to do. So each year, and I'll echo what my dad has said for years, each year we do take a faith promise commitment, but we don't set a goal or anything like that. We just pray that each person would spend time alone with God. So I'd ask you to do that tonight and pray for our church as we gather tomorrow. And we'll see Him and what He wants to do in us.